Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 7. And let's just unite together at the throne of grace in prayer of praise. Our loving God and our Father, as we come to Thee at the end of our meeting, we thank Thee for the one who is our Saviour and our friend. We thank Thee for the one who speaks to us in accents sweet and still. And we pray that we might indeed hear Thy voice as we are in this place, as we tabernacle with Thee. Might we hear that voice, that sweet voice, speaking to our souls. That Thou wouldst bless us and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. In the time that Gideon was called forth to be the deliverer or the judge of Israel, they were hard and difficult times indeed. As we saw last week, the oppression that the children of Israel were under was a very severe one. The Midianites and the Amalekites had got together and they were coming into the country in raiding parties. And when the children of Israel were about to reap their crops, they were coming in to take the crops from them. And this meant that the children of Israel were so afraid and frightened that they had to flee, and they hid themselves in the caves and in the mountains, and they were refugees and fugitives in the land of promise. Now, it may have been a land that was flowing with milk and honey, but God's people were enjoying little of it. And the irony was that Israel had been warned about this in the past. God had said that this was what would happen if they turned away from Him. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, Moses spells out the curses that would be experienced by the children of Israel as a consequence of disobedience and failure to acknowledge God and listen to His voice. God said, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee to overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field." And then it goes on. And then it says this, "And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. The fruit of thy land and all thy labours shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and cursed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see." So God had warned them. God had said to them, if you do not acknowledge me, if you do not follow me, then there will be a nation that will come in, and that nation will take your crops, and you will be destitute, and you will be cursed by me. And that is what happened. God fulfilled His word. And we find here in this book of Judges that it happens time and time again. Every time the people of God turn away from Him, there is that oppression and that curse that comes upon them. And these oppressors, these other nations, heathen nations indeed, come in and take away their freedom and take away their liberty. Now, we find that the children of Israel, in the midst of this oppression, cried out to God again. And that is when the deliverer was raised up. You'll find a time and time again through the book of Judges that when they cry to God, that is when God steps in. And this is another lesson that we need to learn on our day of prayer, that we need to cry to God if there's oppression in our country, if there's a need, and there is a need. We have mentioned the awful things that are being foisted upon us today. And there's a need for us to cry to God, that God would have mercy upon us. And it is when God's people start to cry that God raises up the deliverer. And God raises up someone to be His instrument in His hand in that day of visitation. And you notice that God raised up this man, Gideon. Now Gideon, we found last week, was what he describes, he said of himself, that he was of the tribe of Manasseh, a small tribe. And he said that he was the least in his father's house. He said, who am I? Who am I to go out and be the deliverer. But you remember how the Lord strengthened him. And the Lord gave him a word. He said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And that's what Gideon needed to know. He needed to know that the Lord was with him. Now, we need the Lord with us, don't we? We need the Lord with us day by day. And then the Lord said to him, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" We need God sent men in this day. We need men who God has raised up. Men with a message. Men with God's voice on the matter. Ambassadors of the Lord. And God raised up this man. But God took this man and God strengthened him and trained him into the deliverer that he would be. He was of the smallest family and the least family in the tribe of Manasseh. And he was the least in his father's house. But God took this man who was nothing and made him into something for his honor and for his glory. And we saw something of the training that went on last week. We saw how God took this man and told him that he was to go and throw down the altar of Baal that his father had. Now that was a difficult thing for him to do. But he started at home. He started in the domestic realm. And that's where we start. We start at home. Start in your own family. Start in your own home church. If God is going to use you, that's the place that you start. Start being useful for God in your own home area, in your own home church, in your own home circumstances. Start where you are. But when he was faithful in that realm, and he did throw down the altar of Baal that his father had. Remember how his father was converted? Remember how God honored him because of the difficult thing that he did. The old man said, "If Baal be a god, he can do his own dirty work in slaying those that have cast down his altar." And the old man was converted that day and turned away from his Baalism and from his false gods. God honored the man that took the stand for him. But now God is going to take Gideon and he's going to take him from the domestic sphere and he's going to put him in the national sphere. God is going to take this one man and he's going to be the deliverer for the whole nation. But as God does that, and we find the battle lines drawn here, if you go into Judges chapter 7, and at the end of Judges chapter 6, you find that the battle lines are drawn. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel." And then if you look in chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley." So here's the battle lines drawn. The Midianites and the Amalekites there in Jezreel, and the children of Israel there at the well Harod, the spring of En-Harod, which was just near to the valley of Jezreel. And the battle lines are drawn. There's going to be this great battle that's going to take place. And it's going to determine which side is going to come out triumphant. Is the Lord going to come out triumphant? Or are these heathen nations going to come out triumphant? But as the battle lines are drawn, God is going to teach Gideon some more lessons. There are other things that he needs to learn. Now we come today and there are battle lines drawn in your life. There are those of you here today and you're in a battle, you're in a fight. Maybe it's a battle of circumstances in your home, your family, or a battle in circumstances of your spiritual welfare, a battle in your workplace, or a battle as far as the things of God is concerned. Maybe there's a battle going on with the flesh. A battle going on with the devil. Well, we need to win the battle. And we can have the victory in our Savior's precious name. But as we come to the battle line today, and as the battle lines are drawn, and they are drawn, then there are lessons that God wants to teach us. And they're the same lessons that he wanted to teach Gideon. So I want us to learn those lessons today, because if we are going to be of use to God in this day and generation, each one of us need to learn what God wants us to learn. So there are a few things here about Gideon and the lessons that he learned that I want you to see. And we're looking here at Judges chapter 7. And the first thing I want you to see about Gideon here is the test that proved him. Look at Judges chapter 7 and verse 2. The battle lines are drawn now. And look at what it says in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. When Gideon gathered together his army to fight against the Midianites, we read that 32,000 men gathered to the battle flag. They rallied around the banner. And I'm sure that as Gideon looked down across the army that gathered, you can see the multitudes gathered here at the well in Horeb, and they were all gathered with their weapons, as many weapons as they could find. And what an army 32,000 must have looked like. My, how it must have thrilled Gideon's heart as he looked out at these people who were willing to come. And any general would have been quite proud of an army like that. It was Gideon's army. He must have marched with his head in the air as he looked across this mighty host that were with him. But you know, as God looked down upon that host, he didn't see 32,000 men that could fight. You see, sometimes God's arithmetic is not our arithmetic. And sometimes in the battle we have to learn God's arithmetic. And it's a very hard lesson to learn. And when God looked at the Midianites, when they looked at the Midianites, we find the Midianites here outnumbered Israel 10 to 1, even with the 32,000. But God knew the danger of men. If they went with 32,000 and won the victory, that they would think that they had done it themselves. Now in God's work, we always must give the glory to God. There is no glory to ourselves. We would like to take the glory. And sometimes we put our hand upon the glory of God. And that is why we get ourselves into difficulty. We must always and constantly, and I do this from time to time, in my prayer, I would hand the work back into God's hands. It's not my work. It's not your work. It's not the session's work. It is God's work. And if we own it as God's work and know that it is God's work, then we will have the blessing of God. But as soon as we put our hand to the glory of God, we'll fail. We'll fail. And God knew that. He knew that if they went out with 32,000 men, they would think that they won the victory in their own strength. And so what does God do? God puts a test here. Now this is the test that proved Gideon. And there were two parts to the test. Now, if you look at verse 3, you will see what God did. Now, this is what we call the test of fearfulness, or the test of willingness, if you want to put it that way. Look at verse 3. Now, therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So this is the test of fearfulness, or the test of willingness. God doesn't want those in his army who are not willing. God wants a willing people. And he says, tell them that are afraid, tell those people that don't want to be in the army, go home. Go home. And God wants to have willing warriors in his battlefield. Now we want willing warriors. We want people who have their heart in the work. We want people who have their heart in the very center of God's work and have a burden for souls, a burden for men and women, a burden that souls be saved, and a burden that their hearts be built up in the things of God. We want that willingness. And God's not going to force you. God's not going to put your arm up your back and force you into something, because God wants you to be willing, and God is always looking for those that are willing. Are you willing to fight in this battle? Are you willing to go out against the devil? Are you willing to go out on those doors and knock? Are you willing to be in the place of prayer today? Or have we those that are willing? We want willing people. If you're going to come to the place of prayer today because you feel it's an obligation or you feel that it is something that you have to do, then in many ways we have to say what God said to these people, go home. Go home, because we need people who are willing. Not only do we want people who are willing, but we want people who are bold, fearless. These people were afraid. They were afraid. The Lord said, and is always encouraging us to get rid of the fear, because fear is what the devil uses to take away our boldness in the fight. Remember what the Lord said to Israel in Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And God wants that willingness. And God wants that fearlessness. But then not only was there the test of fearlessness here, but there's the test of casualness. Look at what else. Here were these 10,000 now that have left. And I'll tell you this, that when Gideon saw 22,000 people going home, I'm sure it took the heart out of him. I'm sure he wondered what he was going to do, that he was outnumbered 10 to 1 at the very start. And now this was even worse, 10,000 to go out against these Amalekites that were pitched without number here on the plains of Jezreel. But the Lord says this is still too many. And look at what it says here. And the Lord, verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So here is another test. And what was the test? Look at what the Lord says here in verse 5. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. So they were to divide between those that were lapping like a dog and those that were bowing down on their knees. And when a dog laps, of course, a dog is on the alert. A dog is always looking round it. A dog looks for the danger at all times. The men that stooped down to drink here were people that didn't have their mind upon the work. They didn't have their mind upon the real task. All they wanted was to slake their thirst. All they wanted was to fulfill their bodily needs, as it were. And they weren't going to be any good to Gideon either. They were just those that were there and they weren't afraid in any way. They were willing to go out and to face the enemies. But they were at the same time looking after themselves. Their mind was not on the task. You know, you get many Christians whose mind is not on the task. Their mind is not filled with the things of God. Their mind is upon themselves. Their mind is upon their needs, their wants. That is first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants willing workers, fearless workers, and God wants those that are right in the very heart of things, those that are zealous workers for himself in the fight. But you see what is happening here. God is cutting down the numbers. And you'll notice that 300 were left. 300 out of 32,000. 10,000 were left at first. And then 9,700 of them are sent home. And he's left with 300 men. You can imagine Gideon while he was looking at that. What is happening? You see, sometimes our mind is upon the numbers. We think that by the numbers will prevail. By numbers we will avail in the work of God. And they were looking, perhaps at the start, Gideon was looking at the numbers and the statistics. But he had to learn God's arithmetic. It's not the quantity that counts. It's the quality that counts. And with these few, bold, watchful, dedicated people, God was going to win the victory. You see, it's better to have a few dedicated people than have a multitude that are just seat warmers, those that are just there on the odd occasion, those that are there to fill up the seats. God wants dedicated, zealous individuals whose heart is at the very center of the work. And this is what happened here. God cut them down to 300. He says, I want the dedicated ones. I wonder where you would stand in this multitude. Would you be one of the ones that God sent home? Or would you have been one of the few, the 300, these chosen few that went out to the battle? Oh, may God make us into the chosen few that are ready for the battle. So we see here the test that proved him. God proved this man by the test. But then I want you to notice the truth that encouraged him. Here he was with 300 here against the thousands of Midian. How was he going to go out to battle? You can imagine them standing now and their heart is pumping a little bit faster because they are realizing that they have to go out with 300 men against the multitudes. But look at what God does. God comes to meet him at the point of his need. Look at verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered them into thine hand. So go and assure them, you're going to win the victory. And then verse 11 continues, And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So Gideon went down with his servant and crept into the camp. And in the camp they overheard a conversation that was going on with some soldiers. And they heard this conversation. It was a dream about a barley cake that rolled down into the host of the Midianites and smashed, tumbled down. It was a mighty big barley cake and tumbled down into the host and smashed down the tents of the Midianites. And the second Midianite who was over here, one was telling the other the story, and he seemed to be aware of the interpretation. And he said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And Gideon overhears the conversation. And you notice here that God encourages his man and makes him to realize that he will win the victory. But I want you to notice the detail of the vision. It concerns here a barley cake. Now, a barley cake was the poorest food of that day. People only ate barley in those days when they couldn't get wheat. Now, barley meal was rather more often used as food for dogs or food for cattle. It usually wasn't used for men in those days. And you notice that this was a barley cake. It wasn't a big thick loaf, the way you would think of a loaf today. It was more like a biscuit, a barley biscuit. It was like a long piece of crust, you might say. And this piece of barley crust, this biscuit, rolled into the Midianite camp and smashed it and caused it to crumble. And you know, that is the lesson, that God can take that which is poorest and God can subdue the mighty power of the enemy of our souls with something that is mean and something that is small. You know, if you've ever been a skyscraper, you know that the windows of skyscrapers or tall buildings, you can't open them. And the reason why you can't open the window of a skyscraper is for one reason, to stop people jumping out of it, I think. But the other reason is this. I think this is the more common reason, that if you drop something as small as a coin from a high enough height, the force with which it falls can kill somebody. So if you dropped a coin from a big enough height from a skyscraper and it fell on somebody on the ground, it'd knock them out, it could kill them. And God can take the smallest instrument, and with his force and with his power, he can use that for the pulling down of strongholds. So you notice the detail of the vision. But notice the discovery of the vision. Gideon discovered something. That while so many of Israel were afraid of the enemy, Gideon discovered that the enemy was afraid of him. The enemy was afraid of him. He said, this was nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. You know, the devil very often gets God's people trembling to go and stand in the open air, trembling to go to knock at doors. And the reason why we do not do it very often is because we're afraid. And we feel that we're going to have the door slammed in our face or something untoward will happen. But you know, when you get to the bottom of it, evil men are weak men. And they're more afraid of us than we are of them. Those that are outside of Christ are afraid of the truth. Sinners are afraid. And that is very often why they will react with violence and they will react with anger against the gospel, because of fear. Fear will cause that reaction. And there was a fear here. The Lord says to his people, be not afraid of their faces. Be not afraid of their faces. Oh, we need to be bold today. We need that holy boldness to go forth in the strength of the Lord. And the Midianite soldier said, this is the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And you know what he did? He realized he was defeated. He realized he was not on the victory side. You know, the devil always already knows that he's not on the victory side. Oh, he will fight. He will seek in all ways that he can to disrupt the work of God and seek to undermine the work of God. But the devil is a defeated foe. And you're a fool man or woman if you're on the devil's side today. You're on the defeated side. You know that. At the bottom of your heart, you know that. You know that Christ has all the victory. That the Lamb, and indeed in the end, will have all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Do you realize that today? Do you know that? You're not on the victory side. But get on the victory side. Get to that place where you find the Savior. So we notice the test that proved him. And then we notice here the place here where the truth that encouraged him. But then notice something else. Notice the triumph that thrilled him. Because now they went down into the battle, the 300 men. And the host here, the 300, if we call them a host, the army was divided into three groups of 100. And they had strange weapons. And the Lord said to Gideon, and Gideon told the people, take a pitcher in one hand, and in the pitcher you put a lamp. And in the other hand, you hold the trumpet. And he says, when you get down into the camp of the Midianites, he says, when I give the signal, you do what I do. And you blow the trumpets, and you break the pitchers, and you cry the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they went down into the camp, and they broke the pitchers, and they sounded the trumpets, and they shouted the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And God put the host of Midian into confusion. And they began to fight against one another. And the confusion reigned. And by 300 men, the men here just stood back and saw God deliver that host, that mighty thousands, into his hand. They won the victory. But do you notice the instruments that are used? A pitcher and a light. What is a pitcher? A pitcher is an instrument. Pitchers were used, they were for carrying things, for carrying water, for carrying liquid or from the wells or grain or whatever it was from the stores. They carried the pitchers here and the liquids here. And in that pitcher they had a lamp. Now a pitcher was made of earth. It was made of pottery. And in order for the lamp to be put in the pitcher, they had to empty the lamp or empty the pitcher. So it had to be an emptied pitcher. Had to take out the water or whatever it was that was in it. And then they put in the light. And that's what happens with us. God takes what is clay. And God takes what is ordinary. And God empties us of self and what we are, what we are carrying. And then he puts in the light. Puts in the light of the gospel. And the light has to be burning in the heart. But in order to be used, what is clay has to be broken. And God uses that which is broken. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise, the psalmist said. So God takes the broken instrument, and when we are broken before God, the light shines out. The light shines out. And then we win the victory. But God has to break us first. And then they blew the trumpets. And the trumpets there speak of sounding forth the message. Letting it be well known. That's what we need to do. We need to let our light shine. And we need to blow the trumpets of the gospel message in this day in which we live. And they won the victory. God won the victory. God did this. God brought them to the place where this mighty host was slain. God gives the victory. We rely upon him today. That's why we come today in a place of prayer. That's why we pray. Because only God can give us the victory. And these old earthen vessels had to be broken. And oh, that God might break us today. And those of you that are not sealed, you too are an old empty vessel. But you're filled. Filled with self. Filled with other things. You cannot be used. You cannot be used until God takes out what is in you and puts in the light. Oh, let the light shine in your heart. Let the light shine in your soul. That God may use you to be a light in this world in which we live. And get on the victory side. Stand firm. Stand in the King's army. Come to the Saviour's side. Be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But God taught Gideon the mighty lesson. Not by numbers, not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that is how we will win the victory. In this day as well, in the 21st century, it's the same way to win the victory, is to rely on the Lord.